Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Your inner geek wants to come out and play, but where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.
Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend in Fuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hi.
We've got Uncle Chris.
Oh, hi.
The show's namesake, BJ Shea.
Well, yes.
And running the boards is Joey D's.
Welcome.
We've got everybody.
Yay.
On today's show, we will talk The Walking Dead. We will talk Doctor Who. Ooh. I'll talk to Mr. Gareth von Kallenbach. And, of course, the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Via our website. BJGeekNation.com. It's going to have all our podcasts, blogs, information, as well as social media handles, and more.
And, you know, speaking of social media, you should go check us out on the YouTubes, because lots of fresh content there. We've got a whole new sub-channel about us playing games, and I get a great chance to interact with other people. I just want to give a big shout-out to Keith Forrester for giving me a quick message on one of my other videos, and I just answered him straight on back with a new video.
Look at that, buddy.
You find all these pages, BJ Geek Nation.
Yeah, besides, if you want to DIY your games, man, Chris has got some good DIY action.
I do.
Yes, he does.
DIY. Myself, I'll let me DIM.
DIY action.
DIY action.
Something that we are doing coming up on November 3rd is Extra Life.
Yeah. All gaming all the time.
I know, 25 hours of gaming.
I will be there for most of it.
And really? I also have some very exciting updates.
Ooh, what's your update, sir?
I'll just have to open them up because that's what I was doing right before you started talking about it.
These are special updates then.
So
he opens them. special update.
This just in, there will be a special menu for the event with awesome new dishes. Ooh. One dish will be the Omega's Burger, Cajun Season, King, Remoulade Sauce, Pickles, Onions, Tomato. It's pretty delicious.
Ooh.
And this is going to be, because you guys will be at Zulu's Board Game Cafe.
Yes, and they have a full menu, first of all.
In Bothell, Washington, where it's, they got great food as it is, but they're doing a special Extra Life menu for this.
That is so cool.
Secondly, there will be a kids area with kids games and activities from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Yes, that's where, by the way, our buddy Sean from Think 12 Games will be, because that's his speed.
That is some shots fired right there, yeah.
They're not nemeses for no reason. But actually, I think Sean's going to be here for this next thing, which is game designers who are going to be doing demos all day long. So check the event page for games and times.
If you want to see how not to make a game, this is the conference
for you.
You
are just rude.
Wow, so salty.
Salty.
You know what, though? At about 2 to 3 a.m., I want people to go and talk to Sean and see how he's going, how well he'll be demoing his board games at that time.
Oh, yeah.
When you're like completely and utterly loopy.
Yeah.
It's just a dice being thrown everywhere. We will be doing costume games for the live stream, including Western Legends, Dead Man's Doubloons, and more.
Ooh.
Yeah, so get dressed up like a pirate, get dressed up like a cowboy, get dressed up like a pirate cowboy.
And again, if you want to check out more stuff about Extra Life, you can go to extra-life.org. But we also have all of our information up on the Facebook page. So if you go look and search for BJ Shea's Geek Nation, you can go find all of that and, well, more.
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 I love more.
We need to talk some television. And let's start off with Doctor Who.
Oh, I thought you were going to start off with The Walking Fred.
Yeah, we're going to go with Doctor Who first, because I think I maybe have a little bit more thoughts than not on the old Walking Dead there.
All right, well, you go right ahead, man. Well, I have to tell you something, man. Episode 2 of Doctor Who, if my daughter was here, she is slowly but surely sort of tapering away from Doctor Who. I think the Capaldi years lost her. I really like Peter Capaldi, but I can understand if you're a young person used to the Matt Smiths, used to the David Tennants, even Chris Eccleston. Yeah, Capaldi just probably was too old and unrelatable. And but as a Doctor Who fan, of course, who's been there since, you know, pretty much Tom Baker, and then went back and watched all the ones previous to him, I loved it. But I, you know, this new Doctor Who, man, Chris Chibnall, who is now the new showrunner from Broadchurch, and also Jodie Whittaker, who's the new Doctor from Broadchurch. Gosh, are they knocking this out of the park. My daughter is loving the show. They've really put their stamp on it. It's got a nice vibe, and I don't know if Uncle Chris has watched any of these yet.
Oh, I'm glad you asked. Yes, I have.
Oh, good. Finally, you're caught up.
Yeah, right? Fantastic. I am loving Jodie Whittaker.
She's great.
Oh, man, oh, man. And I mean, and I liked Capaldi just fine. You know, I thought he was a great doctor. He was fine. I am really enjoying the sort of very childlike wonder that I'm getting off of Jodie and everything she sort of does. And it's not just because she's new as the doctor. She's genuinely feeding that into her character, and her portrayal of the doctor is just a very just like wide-eyed, everything's great, we're going to be friends, let's just get this done, because why wouldn't we?
I feel like it's because she's also new as a female. Mm-hmm. You know, because this is the first time the Doctor's been a female, and this is a whole new experience to basically be in a female body and have whatever sensibilities might come along with that, you know, as a male of a species, as a female of a species. You know, because I feel like you have access to stuff that you never, ever have if you are a particular gender for the most part. I love that, and you're right. There is a newness to her and a wide-eyedness to her, even though the character is, you know,
hundreds of years old, and has had all of this strife and all of this trouble that she clearly hasn't forgotten. But
that's a question I have, because I'm not 100% sure about all of this. Do they retain all of their memories as the doctor, as they regenerate? Okay.
Yes.
I was always wondering about that.
Which, you know, imagine when it's like, you know, the Time Lords are an incredible race, because you probably couldn't retain a whole lot of information. You think about what you remember from your childhood, what you remember from anything, and so they've got hundreds of years, multiple lifetimes, and they seem to always remember. Whatever incarnation he has, for the most part, he or she seems to remember what they've done. This is also, the shows have not been happy joy. They are really focusing on some really ugly type of behavior in the galaxy, which in the first two episodes. And I think really the big bad guys, there is a big bad guy, because they were mentioning the first bad guy from the first episode, and they mentioned his whole race in this episode. These are the guys with teeth in their face. It was great makeup. Really creepy monster.
Really creepy.
And in the years of Doctor Who, to create new creepy monsters, when you think of 60 years of doing this. But this guy was a really creepy looking monster guy. I love the three companions. You know, really, Graham, Ryan, and Yaz, they are really good in this, including the relationship between Graham, who is he's a Caucasian granddad to Ryan, who's I guess an English African. I'm not sure what you African American, if he was an American, I don't know what you might call, but anyway, you know what, he had a mom that she remarried this dude. And
grandmother.
Yeah, and grandmother, you're right. And you're right, because it wasn't his mom, it was his nan. But he was never comfortable with this guy being in the family.
Okay,
he really wants to call it, why don't you call me granddad? And he's like, I'm just going to call you Graham.
Yeah.
He's a really young dude. But they're forced to be together because, spoiler alert, Nan is no longer with us because of the stuff that happened in the first episode.
Oh, wow.
Jodie Whittaker is doing a great job loving this. It is a breath of fresh air. They have found their own way of putting their stamp on there. And also, there seems to be a story arc issue.
Yep.
You know, that we found out creepy bandages were attacking them.
The remnants.
Yeah, the remnants. Oh, whoa. Yeah. Like you know, like it's they just such a great first two episodes. BBC America Sundays.
Check it out.
And it's one of those things that when we're moving on to the next television show, your excitement for that is because they're talking about, oh, you know, they're going in a direction, they have an idea. And then we start talking about The Walking Dead in these first two episodes. I'm not going to say that I hate them, but at that same point, I don't necessarily know if they know where they're going with it yet, or if they're just kind of slow rolling these first two episodes to kind of expand the world and kind of do a little bit more of the world building that they need to do, which I kind of thought they spent the last two seasons doing. Yeah. And so it's... I'm trying not to completely and utterly poo-poo on it because I had the preconceived notions that it would be bad, and it's not. But I'm just really not excited when I'm watching this.
You're fatigued. You know, with Doctor Who, they had multiple seasons. There's a new cast, new blood, and they're able to somehow, because everybody's new, you know, you can either hate it or love it, but it's new. With The Walking Dead, we're dealing with attrition. All you ever do is lose people. Yeah, they bring in new people, but it's the same old world.
Yeah.
And some of your characters, if they go in a direction, which you know, what direction can they go in? It's tough to have hope in that world, and
yeah.
That's what Rick's trying to do. And also, we forget they're writing out Rick, and I think that's a big part of why we're seeing what we're seeing.
And you're not wrong with that. And I also think along those lines of like this first half of the season, I think it's marred with the fact that we know that Rick and Maggie are going to be leaving the show.
Oh, I forget about Maggie too. Yeah, Rick and Maggie are gone.
And so anytime that there are any actions that are going on, I'm like, or anybody says something, I'm like, oh, this is their escape clause. Like when they just mentioned to Maggie that that G was you know, always asking her to go around. So it's like, okay, so I guess in you know, at the end of the half of the season, she's going to be leaving to go with the lady that dropped off all of the information so they could create the windmills and the housing.
I
all
hope
that
that's
stuff.
What happens so that we can get a guest shot from Lauren Cohen once
yeah,
in a while.
Yeah, maybe once in a while, that sort of thing. But it's all of that. And then they're trying to figure out what to do with all these characters. So right now we're getting like these romantic like kind of pairings that I didn't necessarily think I wanted or expected.
I expected Carol and the King.
And Ezekiel, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because they've
thought of that. Carol King.
hey, hope. And yeah. they've shown that.
Yeah.
And like the last season, they were even doing that. There were some back and forth with that and throughout the entire thing. So that makes sense. But then you get Jadis and Gabriel.
Yeah, Dumpster and the Priest, I wasn't expecting.
Dumpster and the Priest.
Yeah, I really. Yeah.
New morning shows coming to Alexandria.
Yeah. Or as they like to call them in the show, the Heapsters.
Yeah,
I wasn't expecting Heapster Queen and the Priest together.
And I'll be honest, I didn't even realize it was Jadis in the first episode because she was talking normal.
Talking normal, and hair's completely different.
And she did start doing that when her whole place was wiped out.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like a shark jump, but you're right.
It was just a surprising thing because I had totally forgotten about all of that.
Yeah.
And I guess it's because they're paired up because, I mean, even Gabriel's talking about how, you know, they had both done bad things and Gabriel had just basically ignored his parish so he would survive and had gone through this long road to find himself. And now he's a pretty badass character, but just to have them have to be paired up for romantic interests, I was not too really excited about that.
It's going to be tough losing Rick and Maggie. I don't know how they survive that.
But, yeah.
And again, you know, no Morgan unless he comes back again. Who do you love on that show really anymore?
Yeah. The last scene was kind of interesting because it was Rick in the jail, and it started and ended with Rick talking to someone, and then you realize it was Negan in the prison,
right.
And then Negan coming back with that. It's been what they say, like a year and a half plus 30 days, because it's been a couple of time jumps
at this. Because I knew that his big line at the end was going to be at the end, and that's all they kept saying in the previews.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't watch any previews
every commercial that promoted anything you ever saw, and I watch other stuff on AMC, so it was like, you know, all you kept hearing was Negan saying that last line, you're getting ready for me, and I'm like, I know he's talking to Negan.
So you're waiting for it.
I knew it was going to be the end. I go, this line will be at the end. Thanks, guys. Because it's a great line if you don't know it's coming.
Right. Looking online, and usually Reddit is a bastion of negativity, especially when it comes to any sort of things like this.
Confirmed.
A lot of people seem to be really having a good time with the first two episodes.
Yeah, they're good. I actually have no complaints with them. I'm just sad.
I know ratings are down.
Yeah.
They're really down.
Way down.
So we'll have to see where this goes. I know they want to say they've got 10 more years of stories that they can tell in
this
universe.
As long as they can afford to do this, there will always be a core group that loves it.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll see. If they ever stop doing The Talking Dead, then you really know it's in trouble.
Aaron lost his arm, which was a huge thing.
Yeah.
Because with his beard and when he was lying there, he looks a lot like Rick from the comics.
Sure does.
Ooh, so I hadn't thought about
there's
that.
There's an interesting take with that because Rick in the comics did lose his arm.
Coincidence? I think not.
Yeah, I really don't think it will be on that. So it's interesting to see where they're going to go with it. I'm going to keep watching it, but I'm also,
you may be right because he and Rick had a moment.
Yeah.
And he actually, Aaron's lost a lot, and maybe Aaron steps up and becomes more of a guy. I like Aaron's character.
Yeah.
You know, it's just who's going to, thank God they kept Negan alive.
Yes.
Because that's at least interesting. Like, what will the world be like post-Rick with Negan still alive? And with Maggie, of course, you know, letting the blacksmith free after his attempted murder of her and hearing the story about alcoholism. And I thought that was kind of fun that she talked about her dad, Herschel, being the same guy needing a second chance.
Yeah.
It's fascinating as they're trying to build a new world with new laws and they can't agree, her and Michonne can't agree on how to run things, but they have to, they agree that some sort of
something
commonality
has to happen.
Has to happen. So I like it, but I hope I still do after Rick and Maggie are gone.
Yeah.
I think what you guys were saying a few moments ago about how the episodes themselves, in and of themselves, are good. There's nothing wrong with these episodes production-wise.
Mm-hmm.
They've still got, they're still throwing plenty of money at this thing. They're still have some top shelf acting. I think that just story wise, we are losing the thread, and I am this close to tuning out, you guys. And I
what,
and
you like
it.
You like FWD better though, really?
Not anymore.
Oh, you're so you got three
you,
of the
both of these shows are really starting to go off the rails for me, and I am struggling to keep.
And that's because they both lost their main people. Think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see because we finally see an antagonist from the shadows sort of thing with the guy walking back to the Savior's encampment. Yeah. So we'll have to see what they do.
Why
with
is he dead? Isn't he an LMD?
LMD.
Oh, you don't recognize that dude? Oh, you guys don't watch S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No.
Oh, he was an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, he's a life model
He's an LMD. S.H.I.L.D. Yeah. I was like, he shouldn't be dead.
He can't actually be killed.
No, we don't know
exactly what happened because we weren't given to know, but they did give us little breadcrumbs throughout the episode about, oh, well, these guys didn't show up with the petrol, and these guys are here. The petrol, what am I? I'm still watching Doctor Who.
So British.
They didn't show up with the ethanol, and these guys haven't made it home.
The disappearances we thought were Saviors basically trying to go back and be Saviors again. But now we know, no, there's something else going on.
Yeah, so they're leaving, like Chris just said, those breadcrumbs.
But he recognized the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's a little like,
everything is tying together. We need antagonists for this show. So hopefully starting next episode, we'll be able to get those. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we need.
And I love that Negan said, you're getting this world ready for me. I think Negan is going to be in charge.
Yeah.
Because
maybe.
Rick is going, but maybe Negan won't be the crazy guy that he was. He did actually have a heart. He also, you know, there may be still some Carl left in him, and he I think that he might realize that they need leadership, but it's not going to be the kind of leadership that he's used to. Now that Maggie's gone, I think that it'll be an easier time for people to accept Negan, because remember the flashbacks. The flashbacks, Negan was in the garden
Carl's memory flashback, fever dream.
That's what I mean. They don't put that stuff out there for, you know, I think that Negan and Judith are going to be hanging out.
Well, we'll have to see on that. Moving on from that, we've got Mr. Gareth von Kallenbach. He joins us to get us all of those news that,
or all of that news.
Yeah, that too.
All of this news.
Yeah, something like that. Gareth von Kallenbach joins us from Skewed and Reviewed, that is SKNR.net, where you can find out information about video games, comic books, TV, movies, and of course more. Gareth, we need to talk TV because an interesting development has come up with Star Trek Discovery, and it might cause an issue with timelines and stuff.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's a very interesting thing. Now, of course, a lot of this is all speculation. However, you've seen the image in question that I'm about to talk about. And for those that haven't, it is, you know, readily available. Now, officially, they're still filming season two of Star Trek Discovery. We are expecting to see more very soon because they are going to be a 2019 release on that. But the mini episodes we talked about that we learned about at San Diego Comic-Con are going to be hitting the streaming service very soon. And these are like short episodes around Harry Mutt, and some of them are mini episodes, I guess, would be the best way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we were at Comic-Con, we were invited to sit down on the panel. The cast talked about it. The creative talked about it. And they said, we're very aware of people having the belief that the continuity of Discovery isn't going to mesh in with the 10 years before the original series. People talked about the different uniforms, the different technology, the spore drive. They said, we're all going to explain that. It's going to be all taken care of. Don't worry about it. So now we get this poster that basically doesn't really hide too much that there's a Romulan symbol on the poster.
Now, I'm not too familiar with the timelines and the Romulans and as such. Why is this causing a little bit of a hullabaloo amongst the fandom?
Okay, so in the original series episode called Balance of Terror, that was the first time the Romulans were introduced. Now, they have played around slightly with it because that episode, the Romulans didn't have warp capability, but when they were introduced in Enterprise, they did have warp capability. However, it was clearly established that there was a war with the Romulans, which Enterprise was building to, and had it not canceled early, they were going to get to that. It was also established that there was no communication of a visual nature, so no human had ever seen what a Romulan looked like. It was also established that since the treaty that ended the war, which was signed entirely through subspace radio, there had been no contact with the Romulan Empire. And so the fact that there's a logo which looks very suspiciously like the Romulan logo sitting there in a timeline that is 10 years before the original Star Trek, or at this point, about 9 years before that episode happens, people are going, okay, now how are you going to explain this one away?
And they're just going to be like, well, don't worry about it. We'll use some techno babble and mumbo jumbo.
Or they'll play, yeah, exactly. Or they're going to play the little game that they did when they introduced the Ferengi on Enterprise by saying, well, they never said their name. So canon of, well, we never met the Ferengi until this date. All they know is it was a pack of aliens that came on the ship. They had no idea who they were.
Oh, it's a pack of wild aliens. Look out.
I don't know if they're going to try to pull that, you know, the unseen enemy that we have no idea who they are.
Oh, sure, sure. I mean, I'm sure the writers will get themselves out of that corner that they've painted themselves into. Because, I mean, come on, that's what good writers do.
Exactly. And, you know, and somebody brought up a point the other day. Like, for example, we know that the new younger version of Spock is going to be off on a quest at the initial part of the show and will show up later. Now, someone told me, remember they were messing around with the Mirror Universe. Mm-hmm. Is it entirely possible that these are Romulans of the Mirror Universe, which gives them the wink and a smile of saying, well, the Kirk timeline's just fine. They haven't encountered them since the war. However, this little excursion over the Mirror Universe encountered them, and that doesn't count. So this is all just, you know, playing with house money.
Yeah. I mean, they can figure out however which way they want to do it. I know that BJ is super into Star Trek Discovery, so it'll be fun to kind of try to disseminate and figure out exactly how that's going to work out, and then whether or not if it works for all the different fandoms, because I know some people are going to be pissed about it, and some people are going to be up in arms, but there's going to be people who do accept it and are more than okay with it.
Exactly. And the bottom line is, look what it's doing. It's getting people talking about it months before it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And even those that say, that's it, they've lost me, I'm not watching this nonsense, you know they're going to be tuning in and watching it.
Of course. Now, this is something, moving on from that, is that I'm very excited for, because Fallout 76 is the venture in the Fallout universe into the multiplayer online video game kind of area with this, which is very exciting for me, because it means I get to blow up people in real time and then, you know, have a lot of fun building our settlements and having just a glorious time in the vast wasteland. The beta is going to be happening for the Xbox at the end of this month, around the 23rd, I believe, of this month, and then shortly after, the PC and the PS4 are going to be doing that as well. And you've got some interesting news that actually concerns all of those. Now, please, please give me some good news, Gareth.
Well, it's very interesting because you mentioned the beta, and there was all the talk about that. And we talked on a previous show about the PS4 finally came over to crossplay for Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at that time, there was a lot of speculation as to what would be the next big title to have crossplay. And there was some immediate, you know, people looked at Fallout 4 and they immediately heard, nope, there are no plans for crossplay.
Ah.
However, in the subsequent weeks, that seems to have changed a little bit. Now, it's mm-hmm. important to note there has not been an official statement mm-hmm. from Bethesda. However, we've been hearing stories like, for example, we heard there have been comments from people on the production team that they essentially want this game to run ad infinitum. As they said, we don't plan this thing to be just a few years and done. We want to literally keep this server going as pretty much forever in a constantly evolving world. Now, naturally, that would bring up discussions, bring up questions. And then they said, well, you know, we're not exactly ruling out crossplay, because that's one of the best ways to build and keep your community growing.
Exactly. Come on, people, just make it happen. Everyone should be able to play against everybody.
Exactly. And, you know, it's not like it's a quick shooter where people on a PC will have a distinct advantage over this. I mean, this is a, you know, a team base, and my attitude is I certainly would love the ability to have people who don't have a high-end PC to be able to jump in and play. I think it'll work great, and the bigger your clans, and let's be honest, we all know that, the like you said, some people are going to go out and try to customize their armor. I'm going to go out and try to get those launch codes as fast as I can and fire off the first shots, because if I don't do it, someone else will, right?
Yep.
And so what if we have a few mutations in the background? That's the thing. I've never been big on, I always get into this whole mess of, what do you keep? What don't you keep? What am I going to make now? You know, do I have enough bottle caps, and do I have enough of this? To me, it's a lot easier just to say, okay, I've got enough of an armament, and if I don't, I'm taking some muscle with me. Let's go take this base, and let's go fry everybody.
Yep. And that's the thing, man. Like, the game is going to be massively popular when it starts, but as it goes, and if they want to keep it going for years and years, that means the servers start shrinking, and then you get less and less people to play, and that's how a game eventually will die out. You have a bunch of servers that nobody is going to be on because you can't get enough groups of people, and then that's when it goes. So in order to keep the longevity of these games, you gotta do crossplay, man.
Exactly, and I think in some ways the Elder Scrolls Online might have been a good learning tool for them, because remember, they started off with, okay, it's PC only and it's subscription, and it took them a while to get the console versions of it out. Mm-hmm. But once they got the console versions, they scaled back the subscription model, and they started cranking out the content. There were DLC updates on a regular basis. They're still coming. And I think that set a good example for them to say, okay, we've listened to the online community for this game. This is what they want. Now, you have to expect at launch there might be some hiccups. There might be some connectivity
issues.
Totally,
yeah.
And I think what they're basically trying to do at this point is smart. Let's not launch with crossplay, because then you have three different networks to sort out. Let's get the game up. Let's get it as stable as we can. Let's get everyone on board enjoying the experience. Then let's start bringing them in. You know, let people get used to playing the game, working with their crews. Then let's start bringing it in. Because, you know, that's one of those things that if you try to do at launch, you can end up with more problems than anything else. Because, you know, we saw this with the Star Trek Bridge Commander, where it had PSVR, you know, Oculus and HTC. And I remember going, this is fantastic. And yet, you would see these weird things, like you'd go into warp, and all of a sudden it would crash. And it always seemed to be when you had a crew made up on each one, even though, you know, one was PC, one was PS4.
Yeah.
And you would hear stories like, well, if they're all PC, you don't see this as much. They eventually patched it and solved the problem. But I think it was one of those that if you try to be too ambitious at launch, you're going to run into problems. Better to just ease it in and go from there.
Yeah, that's a good call, man. And it'll be exciting to see it. I mean, I'm going to play it anyway. I already pre-ordered it so I could get into that beta. I love it, so I'm very excited however which way they're going to do it. Gareth, thank you so much. Again, Gareth Von Kallenbach from Skewed and Review. That is SKNR.net. Thank you, Gareth.
Anytime. Take care.
Now it is time for us to get to
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
Vicky, what do you got for us?
We actually got quite a few movies coming out today. Or last night, technically. First one, it is, for a horror movie, I'm surprised at the percentage.
Yes.
Certified fresh at 83%. We got Halloween.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's cool because, you know, Jamie Lee's back. I love the trailer where she's got the shotgun. Hi, Michael.
She's just so badass. I don't know why. I kind of want to see it, but I don't like scary movies, but I love her. I don't know.
Yeah, you should go see it. And, I mean, just bring
freak
some,
out.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. 83% is impressive, though. And I like the trailer. I didn't realize it was a Halloween trailer when I was first watching it.
Really?
Yeah, because it was like, do you, and I don't know Halloween that well, so I bet when he first said Laurie's name, anybody who knew Halloween knew, but I didn't know. I knew the name sounded familiar, but for some reason I thought it was the Glass trailer, because I thought, oh, is he talking to Split? But it was, but I don't know Halloween that well, but then all of a sudden there's the mask, and you're like, So 83%. Okay, Vicky, this is a good one.
All right. Next on the list, I just thought it was kind of fun. The Old Man and the Gun. It's got Robert Redford. Currently at certified fresh at 89%. It is based on the true story of Forrest Tucker from his audacious escape from San Quentin at the age of 70 to an unprecedented string of heists that confounded authorities and enchanted the public.
Audacious.
Thank you.
Close.
I'm mad at you.
I wonder if Forrest Tucker, the actor, got his name because of this character in the history.
Forrest Tucker, the actor?
Forrest Whitaker? Oh, from F Troop, way back in the day.
I don't know.
I wonder, because I mean, I never heard of the name Forrest Tucker except for that old actor on F Troop, which you guys may not know, but it was basically a Civil War based cavalry comedy show.
Jeez.
One.
Well, I don't know anybody else with that name, so I'm going to say, yeah, that's exactly what he did.
I love that. Yeah, and Forrest Tucker is the name of my Screaming Trees cover band.
Okay.
Wow. All right.
Nailed it.
But if you guys haven't seen the trailer to this movie, it's actually kind of cute, so it's fun. So definitely, if you're not into the Halloween scary stuff, or maybe you like some comedy, western-y kind of stuff.
I think this is Redford's last movie, if I'm not mistaken.
Is he going to retire?
I thought I heard that. So, of course, we have almost all the news here.
I don't know, man. You want to look it up?
Look it up.
On it. You talk about your next movie, and I'll look up Robert Redford retiring.
Right. This one, I was a little confused by the title, but it's called The Sisters Brothers. So there are two brothers, and their last names are the sisters.
Sorry, this looks really good.
I get a little, like, you know, whenever it's like a John C. Reilly, Will Ferrell type, any of those movies, I get a little nervous.
Yeah, that's fair.
But this movie starring John C. Reilly and Joaquin Phoenix, and also Jake Gyllenhaal, is getting 85% certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
Is it a comedy?
It's a drama comedy, so...
Yeah, because he's a good... John C. Reilly is a good actor.
Yeah, this is actually based on an actual novel, and it's just reimagined as a cinematic Western as a dangerous, witty, and emotionally cathartic exploration of what it means to be a man. It is 1851, and Charlie and Eli Sisters, which is Joaquin Phoenix and John C. Reilly, are both brothers and assassins, boys grown to men in a savage and hostile world. They have blood on their hands, that of criminals, that of innocents, and they know no state of existence other than being gunmen. So the older of the two, Eli, which is John C. Reilly, rides hard with his younger sibling, yet dares to dream of a normal life. So it's kind of that fun, you know, western-y, but I think they're going to have a lot of good moments, like actually real moments. Oh, and Carol Kane's in this.
True. Okay, then.
And I think that sells you right there.
And it says certified fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Another good western.
Bingo. This just in, the research department says that, yes, The Old Man and the Gun will be, according to Robert Redford, his final movie.
Oh.
One other movie I haven't even heard of this. Have you guys? The Guilty?
No.
It is getting 97% as of now.
Wow.
It looks like some sort of, I don't recognize any of the actors, so I'm guessing it's a foreign type film, but it's...
Oh yeah, big time.
You know, drama, mystery, and suspense. This is when a police officer is demoted to desk work. He expects a sleepy beat as an emergency dispatcher, and that all changes when he answers a panicked phone call from a kidnapped woman who then disconnects abruptly. So that kind of like, like between his personal demons, all this other crap going on.
Yeah, like when three out of the five main people listed in the cast are named Jacob with a K, you know that's a foreign movie.
Right?
Those are Jacobs, I guarantee.
Eastern Europeans.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not feeling movies, by the way, Daredevil Season 3 drops tonight. It's on right now, so
and
if you're at home.
Enough movie shows to watch. Stop it.
Oh, my God. Guess what I'm doing this weekend? Binging.
You're binging.
I'll have it all watched by next week.
Well, yeah, no problem. Well, now that I don't have to watch Iron Fist.
Hey-o.
Did
you finish the second season?
I only had episode one, but why bother?
Okay. Well, there's still a story.
Oh, I heard
watch the last episode, just so you can see what happens.
Yeah, I'm heard not there's watching a crazy cliffhanger.
Yeah. So, watch the last episode.
Great.
All right.
Well, why wonderful not? On that. Well, I mean, there's plenty of things to do while you can just stay in your house and nest like Vicky's doing.
Yep.
Go and binge everything. Maybe not Iron Fist, or, you know, you just watch the last one.
I was going to say, don't expect me to put on pants this weekend.
Yeah, right.
And until next time, guys, stay nerdy.
Your inner geek wants to come out and play, but where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.